Well, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter 66. I want to read one verse as we talk about our Bible study for this evening. And let me give you three special prayer requests while we're turning there. Carrie Taylor's mother was taken to the hospital and very seriously ill with a stroke and some bleeding on the brain. So pray for Miss Carolyn tonight in a very special way that God will intervene and touch her life. Miss Olivia called me. We had prayer over the phone. She was going to the hospital today with the doctor. She may have to have a complete blood transfusion. Not sure yet. But you pray for her. Very weak. And she said, here's the thing that always blesses you when you talk to folks. She said, she started crying. She said, I have such a desire to be in church and I can't come. Well, I'm glad God understands when you can't. So pray for her in special prayer tonight, and also Chester Hurley, who is under hospice care, and God will continue to intervene in his behalf. All right, everybody got a Bible? Amen. Ain't nobody need a Bible? All right. I got a new Bible in the office Dennis gave me. It's the latest one on the market. And I've read through it, some of it. I've read a few verses in it, Dennis. Where'd you get that in the mail? Just, it needs to be. Oh, and so, yes, fellas, I will. All I got to do is wave at me. I didn't see you up there. Am I on now? But anyhow, just comparing John 3:16 in the King James Bible with that Bible, which says this is the greatest book, Bible, that's ever been translated in the history of mankind. And it is more up-to-date and accurate than any translation on the market. And I got a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Yeah, baloney. And anyhow, it was just interesting to read through. And I'm trying to decide what to do with it. I don't know whether I need to hang on to it to do some comparison. I do have a few other versions in my office for references. Sometime when you're trying to fight one, you see what they always attack the King James. That's the one they didn't compare that to the NIV, the RSV, or the ASV. But when they compared it to the KJV. Isn't it amazing how it's always compared to the King James Bible? And I read this week that the NIV is number one seller in America, and the King James is number two. Maybe that's the reason why we're going down the tube. You know, you follow me? I just want all the great revivals of yesterday in America have been preached from the King James Bible. Now, I'm not saying that God hadn't blessed other folks. That would be far from the truth. But I believe a great move of God. God blesses that. That completely honors him. He honors us as we honor him. And I believe the Bible is a very crucial part of our Christian walk and our dogma. I'm talking about obstacles to revival. And if you've ordered Brother Scott's book, it should be in here in a few days, the Lord willing. And I think the pre-sales have gone real well. And I hope you'll read it. When you get it in that book, you'll find the 19 obstacles that Oswald J. Smith gave to hinder revival. And he pastored a great church in Toronto, Canada, for many years. As a matter of fact, his goal was to have missions giving to out give to be out more important than the more emphasis on and more outgoing than the tithe coming in. And they eventually were giving 90% of their income to missions. And God still met all the other needs they had. Now, I just want to say amen and amen. That's a blessing in itself. And supported hundreds, if not thousands, of missionaries around the world. And you keep a heart for God. Even these days when our offering, I thought it was not going to be budget-wise this week, but it still met the budget. But the faith promise giving continues to be there. And we praise the Lord for that. It's always been amazing. Somebody said the other night, you know, faith missions will never decrease your tithes and offerings. It will add to it. And we've seen that happen. Now, if God changes his mind and bankrupts us tomorrow, I'll leave that with him. But God honors that, and I'm grateful that he does. And may we continue our output of trying to touch folks with Christ. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Most of you probably know this verse by heart, Psalm 66:18. Now, let me turn there instead of reading off my notes for just a minute. Let me turn there if I can find it. Still in the Old Testament? Is that true? Let's read starting with verse 16. I circled them a while ago while I was waiting to come up here. Verse 16, come and hear. So what we do first? All ye that fear God. Do you fear God? Amen. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Well, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But notice what he says. But verily, or truly, or amen, God hath heard me, for he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Amen. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Somewhere along the way, David had a confessing time with God, because he's getting ready to talk to God, and that comes very early. Now, you can praise God and hallow God's name, but you better get down to confessing pretty quickly, because sin hinders the fellowship. And it's the little foxes that what? Spoil the vines. And most of the time, most of us Christians are not really guilty of major sins, as we call major. I try to maybe not overemphasize that, because all sin is sin. But there's some sins that we sort of classify big sins. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, etc. Those are terrible, terrible sins. Everybody would say amen. They're terrible. But he also deals with all these sins, plural, in the Bible that we Christians sometimes fall into, that we don't feel they're as bad as other things. Sin is sin, yes or no?
Amen.
God hates all sin, yes or no?
Amen.
So there's no such thing as a little white lie versus a big black lie. There's no such thing as a little sin being more serious in God's eyes. Now, the circumstance and the repercussion and the reaping can be worse in some ways, but not even to that degree. So I talked about forgiveness. Anybody got any hard feelings for anybody tonight? We'll sing Just As I Am and Let You Come, all right? Everybody ready? Number two, we talked about anger. And tonight we're going to talk about the green-eyed monster. And that's either implied in jealousy or envy. And both those words have some, I call them twin sisters. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, the Lord willing. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Make us a blessing in these days. Help us to be truthful to you, faithful to you. And Lord, in the day when we just need a touch of God, we've got to be serious about what we're talking about. And Lord, we cannot just get complacent and think God's going to do something. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And you talk about confessing our sins. And Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So help us, Lord, to be faithful in this area of being good confessors. We can be good professors, but help us to be good confessors. Because if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Everyone in this room can be, may be, even tonight, guilty of one of these sins we've been talking about. Lord, help us. Help us not to regard iniquity in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I keep battling a cough, and cigarettes are tough to quit. I'm telling you guys, just pray for me. We'll change brands. When I was a kid, the brands you smoked was either Camel. He was a man's man if he smoked a Camel or a Lucky Strike. And then Winston came along, and in my mind today, you got that little tune that goes with that. Winston tastes good. Y'all know it too, huh? Amazing. You think $1 million a minute don't pay off in advertising? It gets in your subconscious. So when you go to the store tonight, you probably pick up something that you didn't intend to pick up, all because somebody advertised. And when you have anger, I'm just going to backdrop just a moment. It's one letter away from danger. If you took the word D off, you got danger. You take the D off, you got anger. And we're just one letter away from anger. Anger can come almost surprisingly. Even when you think you've got it all controlled, you better realize you better have it under the control of the one who knows how to control it. Because human flesh cannot always control anger. But if you've got any anger tonight, number one, confess it. Number one, what? Confess it. You don't need to repress it. You don't need to express it. You need to confess it. And that's very important in the Christian life. It's sort of, if you try to repress it, it's like taking a trash can to the closet and setting it on fire. Now, you hide it, and you repress it, and folks can't see the garbage, and they can't smell the stink. But it's in the closet, and you set it on fire. It's going to do damage not only to the garbage container and the bag, but it's going to do danger to your clothes and smoke them all up, at least, if you don't put it out pretty quickly. And, Lord, I've got some bad feelings coming up in me. You better deal with it quickly. My next question is, why do you get angry? You see, first of all, confess it, and let's just consider it for just a moment. Lord, show me what it is. Why do I get angry or mad so quickly? Now, maybe nobody in here has that problem. Most of y'all, you're perfect. Y'all angelic beings. I've looked out over here, and sometime I thought maybe there's some angel wings sprouting out, and I was surprised when they looked like devil horns. And that's what mine looks like sometime. But why do you get angry? The Bible says be angry and sin not. What does that mean? Well, you can be angry at what God's angry at. And you can be angry and upset at the world. Every time I saw that guy this week and on the news who punched that 92-year-old lady, that 92-year-old lady out, just punched her right in the face, knocked her down on the ground, and her head hit a fire hydrant, and just kept on walking. Aren't you glad they got him arrested?
Amen.
I can't imagine somebody like that. He looked like he's about 20. Just punched her right out like that. Now, I watch that. I want to get mad and go grab a guy like that and make an example out of him.
Amen.
That's our human tendency, and I realize that we're human and we get mad. I think you can be mad at sin and not sin. I think you can be angry at what's going on in the world. I am greatly disturbed of what I'm seeing happen in America.
Amen.
I am greatly burdened of what I'm seeing happen in America. And I'm greatly concerned with the recent articles and the last book out about destroying Christianity in America and the books out of the steps they're taking, just exactly what they're doing now. Their whole goal behind that is to destroy the biggest enemy that they have, and that is the Christ and the Church of Christ. It's out to be destroyed, and they're making every inroad to do away with everything they can. And the last thing that was approved by the Supreme Court. And it was approved by conservative judges. And that's on the lesbian and the gay movement of making it now it's almost a law that you cannot discriminate even in churches. That you gotta hire whoever comes to apply. You cannot fire them nor can you refuse to hire them on that ground alone. If somebody comes and they're a queer and they want to be a member of this church, they ain't coming to work knowingly. And I'll come up with something else. I just don't like the way they smell. Or something, I ain't going to hire them. But it's sad we live in a day when we're almost forced to bow our knee to the gods of this world. And you can get angry, and I can raise my voice, and I can show anger in my soul, and God got angry at iniquity. Always. But at the same time, I'm not talking about that kind of anger. I'm talking about the kind that sometimes just sprouts up in us. And why am I getting mad? I said last week, I think it was, now Mama used to tell us this, I don't think it's necessarily the best remedy, but she said, always count to 10 before you say anything. And then you count 1, 2, count slow, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If it's your brother, you call him, just knock him out. You know, you get past 10, you knock him out because you're still mad. Well, somebody else says you ought to count to 100 and see what happens. I don't think we need to count necessarily if that's your way of doing it, fine. But the Bible says in Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I remember years ago hearing people say this, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. Just tell you what I think, give you a piece of my mind. That's the reason why you don't have too many pieces left. You've given too much away. You better be careful what you say. I need to be careful what I say. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man giveth it till afterwards. You can control it by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
of a holy God. Let me say this before I move down to jealousy. Of course, sometimes family arguments, well, discussions, what we call them, they can end in arguments right quickly, can't they? And then who's going to say I'm sorry first, or who's going to break the ice? And we all do it, and most of us do anyhow from time to time, say things we ought not to say. But if it be the case that we do sometimes find ourselves fussing or arguing, very quickly we need to come to the conclusion how we're going to handle it and just confess it to God. Don't consider it any longer and let the Holy Spirit of God help control it. A man of discretion will defer his anger. Now, you say, what makes me get shot like that? What makes me do that? Well, the loudest noise is made by the emptiest car on the train track. If it's empty, it makes a lot of noise. When it's loaded down, it makes less noise. And sometimes I find in my life I'm just empty. You see, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and all of God's people say it. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He's making a comparison. But be filled with the Spirit of God. And it could hinder revival. I don't want anything to hinder revival in my life. I hope you feel the same way, so confess it very quickly. Is there any feeling of jealousy in your life tonight? So let's talk about jealousy and envy, sort of overlap them together for a few minutes, and go to a few passages of scriptures. When someone is preferred before us, does it make you envious or uncomfortable? We'll come back to that. Do you get jealous of those who can pray better than you, speak better than you, do things better than you, sing better than you? Do you ever get jealous of them? I wonder. I have. I've gotten jealous of preachers in my lifetime. Have you? Not necessarily preaching. Have you ever got jealous of somebody? Well, jealousy, sometimes you say, yeah, they think they're great, or they think they're this. Some of the greatest preachers I've read after was, one of them was F.B. Meyer, and the other, I think, was G. Campbell Morgan. And I believe it was when F.B. Meyer came to town, the folks flocked to hear him preach because he was an outstanding preacher. G. Campbell Morgan was a Bible expositor par excellent. He was great. But the crowds would go to hear F.B. Meyer and not to hear G. Campbell Morgan. And he said, in me arose this jealousy. And then I had to get on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me and bless F.B. Meyer. And Lord, if he takes everybody I got, you bless him. I'll leave that in your hands. Boy, you've got to get that way sometimes in your life when you find yourself not preferring others. And I'll come back to that scripture in Romans in just a moment. But they can do things. I don't like preachers who can preach and sing. I just don't think it's godly. I mean, preachers who can sing and preach and do all that stuff, I sit there and say, it ain't fair for folk to have gifts like that and abilities. Have you ever seen somebody have such a great ability that you almost envy them? I used to hear a preacher say, I don't want what they have. I want what like they got. I'm not going to covet what they have. I just want to have one like they got. I don't want theirs. I just want to have my own. Well, you might justify it any way you want to, but it can become very dangerous. And there are folk, and I put in my notes, there will always be somebody who can do things better than you. Always. There will always be somebody who can preach better than the last great preacher. And I've heard some of the greatest preachers in my lifetime, and you probably have heard some great ones. And there may be some that they'll draw a crowd, and people will go to hear him, and that's great. But at the same time, that preacher's got to realize he's just a servant of God. And there's preachers who can probably out-preach him down the road. If he gets to gloating in who he is, the pride comes before the fall. And same way with singers, same way with teachers, same way with anybody. We just have a tendency sometimes to be a little jealous. Jealousy has been defined as the selfish desire accompanied by resentment, suspicion, or fear that another person is seeking to take away what you perceive to be yours. Now, let me go to Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. Well, let's go to Ecclesiastes and read a verse there, chapter 4 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, is preaching. Again, I consider all travail and every right work that for this man is envied of his neighbor. This also is vanity or emptiness and vexation of spirit. It'll be empty and frustrating to your Christian life. When you envy your neighbor, sometimes a neighbor may have something bigger than you got or better than you got. Listen, always pray for those who have more than you have. God bless them. God bless them. And they may get a brand new car. God bless them. God bless them. And you say, well, I got to drive a beat up Volkswagen. Well, just keep blessing everybody else. You might be surprised. When you get to heaven, you may have a Cadillac. But you may have a golden Volkswagen when you get there, whatever the case may be. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? It's a good question. Because it would destroy a lot of relationships. Romans 12:9-10. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Hate sin. Amen? Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amen? Two of you. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Amen? Well, let me try it one more time. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Boy, that's good. That's music to my ear. But this next phrase, in honor, preferring one another. You ought to always prefer others above yourself. Always. You keep that in mind in your life, you'll be surprised. But you will say, but I deserve. You don't deserve anything except to go to hell. And so am I. Here's what it says about envy. You see, I said jealousy has been defined as the selfish desire accompanied by resentment or suspicion and fear that another person is seeking to take away that which you perceive to be yours. Envy, on the other hand, is resentment or displeasure at another's attainments, material goods, or endowments, often resulting in efforts to deprive others of what they have. In other words, jealousy is the fear of losing something we possess. And envy is the desire to take from another what they possess. You can see how both of these words can be related like twin sisters in the Bible. Here's an illustration. I thought about, let's say, Brandon, hey, you play the guitar, Brandon, don't you? You play the guitar, yes? Just want to be sure we're on the same page before I give this illustration. Envy is when I want to play the guitar as good as you. Boy, Brandon plays it. Boy, I'd be glad. Man, I got to get as good as Brandon Page in playing the guitar. I mean, man, don't he make that? And he can even play the banjo. By the way, we've got the Rochesters coming in July. I told them we need a shot in the arm. And so they're going to come Sunday night. That's a little bluegrass. You may not like it, but I hope you'll love it. But here's what jealousy does. Envy is when I want to play guitar as good as you do. I envy your talent. Jealousy is when I don't want you to play guitar as good as me. See, when I get the place that I'm better than you, and you're still trying to be better than me, it looks like from my perspective, I could become jealous of you. Now, if you'll get a hold of the fact that jealousy is a green-eyed monster, or envy, whichever one you want to call it, I've heard it both used in the illustration. Envy ruins relationships by causing conflicts. That's why the Bible says it can hinder revival. Now, you may not be guilty yet, but you may be down the road. Envy is the spark that lights the flame of resentment and hatred. Envy can show up in any kind of relationship. Now, let me illustrate. How many of you belong to a family? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. All of us. You're not an independent, isolated guy. You're part of a family. Now, you could look at the Bible illustrations and see envy over and over and over, and jealousy, starting with Cain and Abel. It went through Jacob and Laban, Jacob and Esau. And you can find it over and over again in the Bible, in David's reign and the other king's reign. Somebody got envious or jealous. They wanted to have this. They wanted that. Don't deprive me of this. And before long, they found themselves in a terrible relationship. And for instance, you know, in the family, somebody may say to the wife may say to the man, you pay more attention to your job than you do to me. We got real quiet. Maybe we're all guilty of that. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't think that's in our house. You ever heard that statement? If you do enough counseling, I've had this said repeatedly in counseling. Well, he shows more attention to sports than he does to me. Now he needs to work on that. That's justifiable. But she was getting almost the place that she was jealous of a baseball or a football to his eating away at her. Now you got to find an answer to it. Now, you say, what if he don't quit? Your job is not to change the other fella. Your job is to pray to God to help change you. If you think you can change people, you're barking up the wrong tree. It is not my place to change people. If God can't change them, who am I to think I can change them? So sometimes there's disagreements that happen in the home. I remember, I go back in my mind years and years of these, of especially that one statement. Yeah, but he pays more attention to this person than he does me. Or he'd rather go out with the boys than spend time with me. And then sometimes it's the husband who says that she's more interested in shopping than she is spending time with me. Now, I know no woman in this room is guilty of ever over-shopping. I know they're born to shop. I go with Nancy oftentimes. Our idea of a vacation is we go find a good place to stay, motel or someplace. I sort of take my books and my library and I lay on the bed or sit out on the deck. Every once in a while, I hear these great words. You want to go shopping? And I say, honey, I wouldn't. There's nothing in the world I'd rather do than shop. And then I'm guilty of lying. And then I got two faux sin added up on top of it. But I say to somebody, I want to go shopping with her so I can be with her. I don't want to go shopping. I don't like the way women shop. Now, all of us can be guilty sometimes of just looking and looking and looking. You ever seen a woman shop? I mean, they'll look at everything right down the mall. They'll hold it, yeah, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. They go down store and store and store and come back to the first store they started and maybe buy what they looked at the first time. A guy sort of has it made up. He needs a pair of shoes. He goes in, looks at the shoes, and gets him a pair of shoes. If he don't like what he sees, he walks out. I did that this week. You know, you just walk out. I didn't see anything I liked. I was looking for something else, and I knew what I wanted. I went in. I looked around. My wife asked me if I found some, and I didn't find them. I was looking for a particular kind of sock, and I couldn't find any, and so I wasn't going to buy the wrong kind of, nothing wrong in the world to buy the wrong kind of sock and get socked at. I mean, there's nothing wrong in the world, nothing worse in the world than shopping for something, just buying something because you got to buy something. But anyhow, women, my wife and I have this discussion quite often. We don't operate on the same wavelength. She'll sometimes say, you're operating on the left side of your brain or the right side. I'm not sure which it is. And then she heard her say this week, and she says, men are from Mars. Didn't you not say that, honey? I heard you say that. Now, she wasn't talking about me. She was talking about all the other men in our church. These men are from Mars. And then the women are from Venus. That's what the men say. Now, bless you don't know, men and women are different. Boy, that's a great statement. I stayed up all night trying to get that in my notes. Men and women are different. They do not see through different eyes. I'm not going to go into a discussion on that tonight. Let's go to our work for a while and get out of trouble and move on. You stand too long in the family, you'll get preached at when you get home. Some of you will. Some of us will. A salesman of another salesman, or a laborer about another laborer. I've heard this. Yeah, he gets all the breaks. Yeah. I work myself to death, and he or she gets all the breaks. You got a problem with jealousy already eating away at you. You got a right to say anything you want to say. But out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you think you deserve that position or you deserve what they're doing better than they do. And you see, if you wait on the Lord, he may put you above that. See, he may do something even spectacular with you and you just wait upon the Lord. Are there any bad breaks in life? Always going to be bad breaks in life. Is there always going to be some unfair things done in business? Always going to be unfair things done in business. Now, you can talk to folks about it. You can discuss it. But if you start getting to the place that you're envious and jealous of somebody else that you're working with, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. It can eat away at you and cause resentment. It can affect the labor force. It can affect people's lives. And most of all, it can affect you because every time you see them under your breath, you said, I wish they'd get fired. How in the world do they keep letting them work here the way they do? And then they don't say, why are you staying? They may be saying the same thing about you. But all of us are different. And all of us sometimes say things that we probably need to reframe our mouth from and defer it a while like the anger, so the resentment and the envy, the jealousy don't pop up. Well, at school, I went through this when I was a kid. I didn't realize I was poor when I was being reared. I still didn't for a long time. But when you start going to school and you start comparing your clothes to other people's clothes, kids have a tremendous problem with that. You remember the tennis shoes? I don't know what was popular when you were a kid. I think it was U.S. Kids or something, or some tennis shoe like that when we were small. And then Air Jordan come out, and you could buy Air Jordan for $60 or $100 for a pair of tennis shoes. And then some guys come in with that. Then you say, yeah, he thinks he's something. He thinks he's Air Jordan. Yeah, look at him. Look at him walking around, you know, showing off. And down deep on the inside, you know what you're saying? I wish I had a pair of those. Now, you wear U.S. Kids, if that's all you can afford, you maybe someday may have a better pair than Air Jordan. I don't know how much his tennis shoes cost now. And most of the sports figures, you don't need to buy any of their tennis shoes. The way they act, and sometimes the overgrown babies, they sometimes drive you up. They make you angry just watching them sometimes, how they act, making millions and millions. Now, thank God for the good ones. But it's like everything else. There's enough there to make it bad and how sad it is. Well, in your friends, why did she get married and I got to remain single? I'm just as good looking as she is. I mean, how come she can, how come, and through a high school sometime, how come she can get a date and I can't? Well, you may be as ugly as homemade sin, you don't know it. Somebody said beauty is skin deep. Ugly goes all the way to the bone. Well, I'm not sure about all that, but I know it's one of the problems. Envy can show up in any kind of relationship. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't let it fester. Don't let it eat away at you. Try to deal with any sin quickly. Envy always comes or always causes bitterness and can lead to a malicious action. James 3:16. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching the Bible. You say, well, I don't believe what you said. Take it up with God. He's the one that said it. I've got to take it up with God, too. Envy is the green-eyed monster. If you're green with envy, you're going to be ripe for trouble. Don't let it eat away at you. Envy to your soul is what cancer is to your body. And cancer can eat away little by little by little until you're devastated and destroyed. And envy can be the same way. You become so obsessed with what somebody else has that you don't have that you can become depressed in life. We was talking about before church about caste system in a lot of countries. Every country has a caste system. You have the rich, you have the middle class, you have the poor, and you have those who are below that. Every country has it. And sometimes you think you could be born into a caste system. Maybe in India, you have a right to have that. But many folks, they look down, sometimes the rich look down their nose at the poor and say, you're not blessed like I am. Or the poor can look up and say, you don't deserve what you've got. And when you start dealing with it in an individual way as a Christian, you just pray that God will bless people as you pray for them, help yourself not to be envy and jealous of anybody else. And it's not a battle that we are immune from. Every one of us faces it. For the Bible says, for we dare not make our member or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Chapter 10, verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I am what I am with the grace of God. Did you ever hear Paul say that? What I have, I have. I have learned, whatsoever state I'm in, to be what? To be content. Philippians chapter 4. Notice again he says, I have learned to be content. Didn't mean he was it all the time. Because it's easy sometimes not to be content with what you do have. And I said some of the grass looks greener on the other side at times. And maybe it is greener. But that doesn't mean necessarily what is the will of God for your life. That's what you've got to determine and move in that direction. So I would say in closing, resist comparing yourself to others. For a better way of putting it, you are a unique being. You are a designer model. And when God made you, with all of its flaws it may have, you are unique and there's not another one like you. That's the reason why that The technology is being able to know who everybody is through the retina of their eye, through the fingerprints on their hand, or whatever system they develop, even their brain waves. They pretty well get down to a fine art that they can pick out who's who and where you're at all times. The wealthiest billionaires in America are giving millions and millions of dollars to research to be able to mark every individual on planet Earth. Make you think? Everybody needs a mark. Everybody needs a tag. Everybody needs something on them. Like when you lose your dog, it's got a chip, and your dog can be found easily. That sounds so logical to me. But when every individual on planet Earth is going to be forced to take a mark, and the green grass of that is already growing, if you keep up with business and financial worlds, and I'll just read an excerpt here or there, but to know that many of the multi like Gates and others like him are pushing that greatly. The only way we're going to solve any kind of virus, any kind of situation, we've got to know who they are, where they're at, and what they're doing. China already has implemented that in most of their population. They're marking every individual in China so they can keep up. And when you do something wrong, they also can know that. Now, I'm telling you what, folks. This morning I was just reading and studying some, and I thought about, wow, if the Lord Jesus is not on the horizon, he's pretty close to being on the horizon. And I don't know when he's going to come, but my prayer is being more and more this way. Lord, I know I'm not much, but I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you promised me that I'd be able to go to heaven when this life is over. I don't know what your timetable is. It may be 1,000 years. I don't want to be depressed. But Lord, help us and help me to be able to face whatever we face until the trump of God sounds. Amen. And Jesus takes us out of here. We are closer now than ever before. You say, preacher, I've heard that all my life. You're hearing it one more time. We are closer tonight than we've ever been before. And the signs are just mushrooming at an escalating speed to where the fig tree is blooming. And things are looking ready. Now, I'll close with this. The world will get so bad, and all of the violence and all of the problems we're having, that somebody's got to come on the scene who can solve the problem. And out of that particular prophecy comes the Antichrist, who will have an answer. If you don't think people have charisma and answers to control people, you go back to Hitler and Mussolini. You go back to other great leaders. They're able to control a populace of people. But then on a worldwide scale, this man comes in with the charisma, with the intellectualism, with the ability and the power. Wow, what a man is this. Don't put your faith in any man. Put in the Lord God Almighty.